Hey, it's Dr. Gurr with another psychological podcast. And today's podcast is another one of my Dr. Gurr productions. And this one is my take on the managed care telephonic review. For the general public, that's when the managed care company wants to review why the patient's coming and to determine if the patient meets what they consider medical necessity. Now, again, understand that managed care companies are businesses and they're looking for the bottom dollar that they have to spend. And as clinicians, we're looking for therapy as a way of improving the quality of people's lives. And sometimes there's a clash between us and the managed care company in terms of our goals. And so they're always looking at what is the most efficient way to reach this patient. And sometimes, from my perspective, it looks like they are looking for loopholes to not pay for therapy. And sometimes their demands are reasonable and sometimes they're not. But I personally have difficulty arguing my treatment plan and arguing what is good or bad for a patient and divulging even that information to some faceless person on the other side of the phone. Now, in many cases, the clinicians we speak to are good, but sometimes they're really not that good. So, you know, I'm not going to paint a picture of them as being all bad. But just listen to my sample managed care review and see what you think.
Dr. Gurr, we're here to talk about a case, case number 173425L32490015789. RL53201. Is that correct?
Yes, that's the patient's ID number, and that's the individual we're talking about today.
I just have to tell you that this conversation will be recorded. Is that okay with you?
Yes, that's fine.
So, Dr. Gurr, can you tell me, what are the symptoms that your patient had?
Well, the patient's a 42-year-old male who's exhibiting a poor appetite, insomnia, low energy, low self-esteem, inability to concentrate, inability to make decisions, and presently he's feeling very hopeless and helpless. Just to give you a little background, this patient's mother had depression. He is presently having difficulty because he lost his job and there are financial problems and the marriage has been in trouble for a while and one of their children has an autism spectrum disorder and there's tremendous strain and pressure on the family. And this particular patient's having tremendous problems coping with everything and is not functioning very well.
Did your patient claim that he was going to harm himself or harm anybody else?
No, he did not make any of those claims.
Does your patient have access to weapons, knives, guns?
As far as I know, he has no access to guns or knives or any other weapons.
Can you tell me what your treatment plan is with this patient?
Well, since I'm a cognitive behavioral therapist, my approach is to change his interpretations and cognitions and then also modify his responses to his situations so that he gains more control over his life and starts to put things in perspective. He's very depressed and he doesn't have the energy or ability at this point to effectively interview, so he needs to be on a medication to assist him in that area. And we're working on changing his whole life perspective and the way he communicates and interprets things.
Do you have any idea how many therapy sessions you'll need to complete your treatment plan?
I'm hoping to resolve these issues within about 20 sessions. I think that might do it.
I believe, Dr. Gurr, that this patient should be seen by a psychiatrist, even though their medication is being evaluated by their primary care physician. We at the company don't believe that a primary care physician should be managing psychotropic medication. And so we believe that this patient should be seen by a psychiatrist. If the patient refuses to be seen by a psychiatrist, we will not pay for any additional services.
I don't understand. The patient's been seen by a physician. The physician and I have been in contact, and we both agree that the medication's been somewhat helpful for him at this point, although 10 milligrams is kind of low, but it's a good starting dose. And I don't understand why this patient would want to or be forced to see a psychiatrist at this point.
Dr. Gurr, I believe if this patient intends to continue in therapy, the company will not pay for any more sessions. You may have to tell this patient that they'll have to pay for themselves if they do not do what we want them to do.
I don't understand why you would not support therapy for this client. He's done everything he could to help himself. He's gone to his primary care physician who's understood his problem and actually put him on 10 milligrams of Lexapro.
Let me see, according to my book, that kind of problem is, let's see, we'll authorize 10 sessions for that kind of problem. You should be able to fix that in 10 sessions or less.
I guess that's the best I can expect under the circumstances. I'll relay the conversation we had with my patient and see what our next steps are. Thank you. For the clinicians out there who've heard this, I'm assuming it was rather painful. And for the general public, I just wanted you to hear what we have to go through and another reason why clinicians in general have difficulty with managed care organizations. So, I hope this is kind of informative. Until next time, this has been Dr. Gurr, and you can see more about me at my website at www.drsgurr.com.